All right, so what do we got tonight?
So,
the toasty fans.
Yeah, so on the political front, Joe Biden chose...
Oh, current events, right?
Yeah,
let's talk about some current events.
Yeah, real quick. So Joe Biden chose his vice presidential pick, his running mate, as it were.
Yeah.
So Kamala Harris, senator from California, she was elected in 2016.
Koala?
Koala Bears. Oh no.
That's
oh dude,
stick. Hold up. Abort. Check out the new Toasty Podcast digs. Table.
So pretty.
This bad boy is gonna take us far. If we don't get famous off this crap, I quit.
Nothing. Nothing's gonna do it for us. This table doesn't do it. People are gonna tune in just to be like, I just have to stare at this.
Right.
It's just...
And if you guys want one, hit me up. I built it myself. So, bam! Hit it.
Pretty cool.
Anyway, back to it. Kamala Harris, vice president for Joe Biden. What the heck, huh?
Yeah, crazy. So, it's an interesting pick. She was vehemently against him during the debates. I don't know if people remember, but it was like, you're racist. You opposed busing to help desegregate schools, and I was one of those girls, or I was that girl. You know, they had t-shirts out. Literally, within 30 seconds of her saying that, the t-shirts were for sale.
That's not
fake. That's real.
That's awesome, actually. I'm going to be on Adobe Illustrator ready
to go. She planned it. Like, that's the thing. She was just like, go after him on that. You're going to use that line. We've already got the t-shirts printed.
I mean, yeah, I guess ready you say for that, sale. But it's also really easy to make that kind of t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like easy. You know, like Bonfire. Shout out to Bonfire. You could literally get a design on Illustrator, upload it like that. 30 seconds later, you've got 200 shirts that you just ordered.
Oh, wow.
So it wouldn't necessarily. Now, up for sale is different. But also.
Yeah, it was from her campaign site.
There we go. You could set up a campaign on Bonfire real quick, boom, and link it to your website.
Interesting.
On Bonfire.
Tell me more about Bonfire.
Ad. This is what I use for my Toasty Podcast shirts.
Yeah, they're great shirts, good quality.
And they are ring spun cotton, and they are easy to wash, and they are my own design.
And they don't shrink when you wash them.
They don't
nice.
Shrink, and they also are shipped directly to your door from my website. I don't have to worry about the shipping and the handling. Thank goodness they took that out for me.
Yeah.
So guess what? Check out Bonfire.
So, yeah. What else is in the news?
Dude, you said... Okay, well, I actually don't know anything about this. But earlier you told me about it. You said Israel and...
The news broke today.
UAE?
Yeah.
UAE?
UAE. United UAE, Arab okay. Emirates. It's...
Under Armour.
United Arab Emirates. It's a country like the size of West Virginia, I think, probably. And maybe smaller. And anyway, it's in the Middle East, obviously, United Arab Emirates. It's a pretty modern, technology-based economy. Sorry, couldn't think of the word. Anyway, similar to Israel, but Israel's obviously a Jewish state, whereas UAE is a Muslim state, essentially. They struck a peace deal, which is pretty crazy. Israel hasn't struck a peace deal since 1994.
What was that about?
It was between them and Egypt, and I believe it was Egypt.
Let my people go.
It was only Egypt and Jordan that Israel has struck any peace deals with in the Middle East. That's it.
Why would that be a thing?
Because Israel's a little tiny Jewish state, and all the rest are big, scary Muslim states.
Yeah.
That's the story of the Middle East, anyway, so far. And then Israel was like, strong ally with America, Western values, basically parliamentary democracy, and that little tiny country, the economy just skyrocketed over the last... I don't know, it's only been around 80 years, so yeah, it's been pretty cool to watch that peace deal happen. So they went from basically not having any relations at all, like, to having full embassies with diplomatic relations and diplomats, to having full commercial airline flights with each other, full open trade. Let me think what else. I just heard on the radio say all the details. So what else? There's a few other like big things between the countries that haven't been around ever and are very rare for Israel and another Middle Eastern country. And UAE was just the first country to sign this peace accord. I was listening to an interview with Jared Kushner today. Brett Baer did an interview with Jared Kushner earlier today. And I rewatched it, and Kushner was basically saying that's one domino that could potentially fall. Like, there could be Saudi Arabia could make a deal with Israel, and then Jordan could make a deal with Israel, and et cetera, et cetera. Qatar, maybe. I doubt it. I feel like Qatar is more on the side
of Iran. Well, would that just be good for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Opening up trade and relations and diplomats and travel between those two countries, because they're both very technology driven industries,
right?
Like Israel's the Silicon Valley of the Middle East.
I feel like Israel is kept out of it on purpose because they know like everyone else over there is crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the Arab states are starting to come around, especially after we withdrew from the Iran agreement. From the JCPOA. After we withdrew from that, a lot of Arab countries started trusting us more and saying, if Netanyahu and Israel and America can kind of come around to not supporting Iran with billions of dollars in cash, then maybe we can work out a deal. And Israel basically played this so smart. Netanyahu's a genius. He was basically like, I'm going to go take over the Gaza Strip. Like, it's like 14 square miles. I'm just going to go take it. Like, I can totally do this by now. Like, Israel has an incredibly strong military.
Dude, Israel.
One of the strongest.
We got to do like a deep dive, if you will. You know.
Well, we could do a whole episode on Israel. Just
a whole episode on Israel.
Started in 1947. What
the heck this is, man. Because the Iron Dome and all that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Maybe
man.
Next podcast we could do the history of Israel. Sweet. Iron Dome. A lot of Americans need to know about Israel because it's a really cool country. Really cool country.
They just get crap done. I never see a losing headline from Israel.
Nope.
And I mean, you know, religiously they're cool. Well, that's freaking by God, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, that's crazy. Anyway. We can continue, I guess. Oh,
where was I? Where was I on this?
Israel, they came around. Iran's not. We're not getting money into Iran anymore. sorry, dude.
No, you're good. But
that's what you get when you're relaxing on a podcast.
I know. Totally. Totally.
Spaced. I hope people don't like literally just like, this is dumb. I'm out.
Base.
Why are we listening to this? This is stupid.
But no, I mean Israel is a cool country. It's a lot of cool tourism there.
Well, we got some other news too. So obviously, I guess everyone knows by now, right? I'm not going to be the current event specialist here. We're late on that thing.
Yeah,
Beirut explosion. You know.
Yeah, that happened.
Clearly, we're a week ago. I'm not worried about it. But ammonium nitrate blew up all the port. You know, it's gone pretty much.
Been there for years.
They can't now. They can't get grains, bread. Basically, they had a supply for bread for like 3 months. That's about it. They have to get it inland, which I don't know if that's Jerusalem. Where is that at? Where'd it come from?
What?
Lebanon, inland. Their biggest countries on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Is it Jerusalem? I don't know what's over there, dude.
So Lebanon is close to, gosh, I'm not 100% sure.
I thought I heard someone say Jerusalem, but I'm not sure.
It's close to Israel, I'm pretty sure. Well, I can look it up on a map real quick. But I'm pretty sure it's right in there tucked with like Jordan.
Israel, Jordan. Okay.
Israel, anyway, Lebanon,
let's all
Egypt.
Just move past all that. Anyway, basically they're not going to have freaking bread, dude. Yeah, go ahead. Look
That's
it up,
terrible.
Yeah. And the port, like, it's hard to get to the, you know, ports. They can't do it because the port's gone. Obviously, it's destroyed.
Yeah, it's. I've looked at satellite images. It's rough.
Next thing.
Really rough.
There's a thing called IMF, and IMF is like the global, for the developed world, the global IRS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It also provides a type of insurance, in a way, for countries. So when this happens in a country, other countries come to their aid almost by, you know, necessity. They have to, almost, right? It's not all because they're trying to be good Samaritans out here. It's not all. That's not how it actually works. It's mm-hmm. like if a, it's like it's how I see it is like if a guy commits arson on his own New York restaurant because he can't afford it anymore or something happens.
Well,
that's one conspiracy theory for Beirut. Next, we got. Sorry, we just went crazy here, but whatever. Next, we got another conspiracy that I was just talking to you about, where. Right now in Lebanon, the government stepped down and they were like, peace them out. Everyone except for the mm-hmm. actual president and the prime minister, they put a interim government into place, right? And it happened literally right after that. Whoa. And all the government have been saying, we need to turn this around. We need to turn everything around. The economy's been going like sliding for a while.
Yeah. You know what else I heard? Sorry, I just like connected some dots in my head. I literally heard today on the radio. I listen to a lot of radio because there's a lot of good news on the radio. That ISIS is starting to gain more territory in Syria, like a considerable amount of territory. So, like, the resurgence of ISIS is becoming a thing.
And see, meanwhile, this is all happening while we're having a pandemic in America.
Yeah, a horrible pandemic.
It's
happened to be striking our country the worst out of any country.
Pandemic means global, and every other country is moving on, by the way, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah, every other country, yeah. Most Nordic countries didn't even wear masks.
We're not doing skies rants here. Get out of here. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So, yeah, they have this thing going on, and government stepped down, and now they literally put it in a place where military can break up free speech, break up. Like congregations break up, whatever they need to, for the sake of security. They also now are allowed to remove you from your home if they think you're a security threat. Huh. And this is military, and that technically, I guess, in my eyes, it seems like martial law. But obviously not calling it martial law. That's scary because of what happens after that. What could happen after that?
Yeah,
and it's not tricky. My point is like we talked about this. We had the guy on the show, Blaze, and he did the interview, and he talked. Basically, he was just giving everyone, all my listeners, the red pill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say that I agree with everything he said, but also there were some things there that they obviously have some evidence and truth to them. This has nothing to do with the Q or any of that stuff. But in light of that stuff, now. What I've started doing is a little bit more research behind the scenes. That's it. Definitely not going to say any of these conspiracies are true, but I think that if you really believe the governments of the world powers, are here for you, I think you would be ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they are far removed from working for the average person.
And I'm just realizing that more and more, you know. And that's why, like, this year, like I said, I walked into politics this year. I watched then, like, it was going to be some freaking, you know, just a little angry fest. Like, no, I like Joe Biden. No, I like Trump. That. But nah, it goes way deeper than that. And people are insane. And I'm like,
people are definitely
this is
insane.
Not what I signed up for. I should have just stayed away.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just, you know, dealt with it when someone yelled at me for not voting.
And one thing Blaze... One thing Blaze mentioned that I thought was really intriguing was that Trump was like never meant to be in the White House at all. He was just never meant to be there, never meant to be elected.
And they like accidentally got him elected.
Yeah, and it was a total like, oh crap, like this guy just made it by the skin of his teeth. And he did. I mean, literally less than 100,000 votes decided the 2016 election. And less than a handful of states.
I mean,
it was closer than the president likes to say. He likes to say he won in a landslide. And yeah, it was like, maybe
he didn't win in a landslide.
Maybe an electoral
I get it.
Slight
he didn't.
Victory. But
like, I don't know, man. You know, like I said, the more we get into it, the more I'm like, man, what the heck? You know, what if that's the Democrats thing, right? Like, oh, crap, he won? Like, with Biden, right? Like, what is going on there? But
well, I think Trump was such a populist, or is such a populist, that it really was a grassroots kind of movement. It really was votes that got him in instead of special interests. Because he took no money from right. special interests at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or I don't even think he took money from PACs the first term, or first time he ran. There's PACs now, but right. I don't know.
All right, well, so now I kind of want to go into a little bit of something else. What I want to do is talk about some of the plans for the show. Because we're on a podcast right now where we're chilling like villains. And you know, what if there's a listener out there that's actually loyal? You know what? Thank you, by the way.
Yes,
if you're a loyal
listener. Especially, man, subscribing.
Dude.
My mom listens, by the way.
Really?
She does. She's a loyal listener. Shout out, Mom.
And thanks, Mom. As cheesy as that sounds, I'm going to be straight up with you. I don't give a crap. A listener is a listener.
Exactly.
Especially loyal.
Yeah.
And if they like our content, they like our content. My mom probably will never even hear this ever. Like, that's just how she is about content. She's not really the person to get into it. Mm. But I don't even know if she knows what a podcast is.
And obviously my fiance watches every episode.
Oh, for sure. Shout out. Thank you.
Thanks,
you. But also, like, anyone that might listen, I just want to let you guys know that this is not the only plan we have in place. Yes. I have a lot more planned for this podcast. I have a lot more planned for the quote-unquote media company that I have. I want to create a lot more with it. And
more content is the key.
This is not the end of it. Soon enough, maybe we'll have multiple episodes a week. So yeah. We'll just be giving y'all one episode a week.
Yeah, we can go a little bit harder. And I'll be doing more. I want to do more. Why can I not think right now? Op-eds, editorial opinions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you guys didn't know, this is a good time to go ahead and shout that out. I have the website, obviously, toastypodcast.com. Well, on it, I have a blog. Of course, I have a blog. Everyone in the mom has a blog. And on that blog, I post more than just the podcast episodes. Sometimes I put little toasty treats in there, including op-eds or opinion pieces from Matt. And sometimes I'll put my own stuff in there. Like, if you want to see the story of me, literally how I grew up, I have it on there. I don't really know if you'd care. I don't, whatever, but it's there. You know what I'm saying?
It's a biography of Sky.
Part of content creation for me has been not worrying about who you are and putting it all out there on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me get better at what I do anyway. So, anywho, after all that said,
there's more content on our website, dude, and we plan on putting a lot more out there.
Always. So,
let me tell you real quick while we're on the subject of op-eds, I found out what my next one's going to be.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you want to know?
Let's go, dude. Oh my God.
Whoa.
Suspense, dude.
Oh, I can't wait. So, it's going to be, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And it's going to be about getting married in the pandemic.
Marriage.
Marriage. Twove. True love. Someone's going to make that joke at the wedding.
Come on now. Everyone does, dude.
Yeah. So the op-ed is going to be why I'm choosing to get married during a pandemic and not postponing the wedding.
That is an op-ed that I want to read.
Yeah.
I also want to push it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you want that op-ed, you get it right here at thetoastypodcast.com.
Yep. So,
do you want to talk about that or not? You just wait for the op-ed.
Man, you should wait for the op-ed. It's going to be brutal. I'm going to
next thing we have coming
COVID
up.
Apart. I think it's a whole crock. I think it's a lie. I mean, I think it's obviously real, but I think it's being hyped.
Okay, we all think that.
Because
you know what, dude? Maybe we should do an episode about that. I'm not sure. You know, I always say, like, I try to be unbiased, and I get that. And at first, I started this thing, and it was called Unpopular Opinion. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. And I realized very quickly that who cares? Like, if I do an opinion that no one agrees with, well, it doesn't really help anybody out. And what I ended up doing was ended up saying, you know what? I just want to find knowledge where I can find it and let people just speak.
Yeah, it's more about creating a dialogue, too.
And so that's what I've been doing. I have a girl that might actually be able to interview with me, and she did a few contracts, I guess, for work with TikTok. And you know that's very controversial right now as far as what they're doing and behind the scenes and stuff. And she knows. And she also married, I think she married into a Chinese family. She knows someone.
So she's a spy.
And she knows their fan. She knows a lot of people in China. And she wants to spread the word that it's a crazy, like TikTok is insane. Why are you guys on this?
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I said. She wants to say this is a crazy data farm, basically, right?
It is. That's all it is.
Okay.
Facial recognition?
Hold on, dude.
Yes. What did she say?
I still have to say, dude, I'm actually going to be on the side of it's freaking awesome fun. Like, it's, I'm not going to say it's not good, or I'm not going to say that it's good. You know, perfect or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not. And it's pretty clear. Yeah, facial recognition can happen. They have tons of data, you know, all that crap. My argument will always still be the same. They've had my freaking data like crazy since 2009 when I got on Facebook and I was underage and still lied about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't Facebook. Facebook used to have an age limit, right?
I have no idea.
Was that 9 or 8? It was early on. Like, Facebook was like there. It was like 2007 or 8 whenever, like, people had just started. It was like MySpace days, dude. And I still had a MySpace too. My point is, people have my information already, man.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're on a freaking podcast, Matt. Like, your face is on freaking YouTube. You think Google doesn't use our crap?
They definitely do.
You know what I'm saying?
But TikTok, they actually use data that you give them. This is just me putting my face on YouTube. It's totally different. Like, you're consenting to data. Basically, you're consenting to, you know, giving them your, obviously your phone number and other things. And then your location too. Your location is probably the biggest thing. Because if they can track, it's not just about like your spending patterns. That's important to them. But they want to know where you're going in your patterns every day.
Yeah, Google Maps tracks that all the time.
Yeah, and not just you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's not just TikTok. TikTok is very overt about it. And I'm saying... We had this discussion at my bachelor party, actually, was that if the president's going to go after TikTok, like, why not go after Zoom?
Big tech.
Zoom is Chinese-owned completely. Rockstar Games, 100% Chinese-owned. And they take the most money from gamers of any other game out there. GTA 5, so...
Yeah, I am hard-pressed to say much because I'm not sure what actually goes on. That's why I'm hoping I can have Whitney on and she can tell me, you know, what's going on here. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Maybe she can tell me that it's really not what we think as far as a workplace goes, but it might be a place. I don't know. We'll see. But I have the same arguments for TikTok as I do for big tech. So it's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And
that whole hearing where Facebook, Google...
They
were all there. Off,
right? Now, Here's what I don't like.
Except Zuckerberg. He's cool, you, in my book.
What?
For saying, do you not know? Okay, first of all, Facebook's not in China. No such thing as Facebook China.
Okay.
Secondly, like that, when they asked them, like, have y'all heard of Chinese, basically espionage and data theft and data mining from U.S. companies? Straight up question. That's basically, you know, not verbatim, paraphrasing there, but it's basically how the question was asked. Like, pretty straight up question. Like, is China and the Chinese government stealing our data? And the Google executive, I can't remember his name, was like, I can't think of any instances where they've taken our data, but I can't really speak on anything else. And then who else was there?
Apple.
Tim Cook was like, basically said the same thing. Like, they haven't taken our data, you know, as far as I know.
That's
the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. Like, you're straight up lying. And then they asked Mark Zuckerberg, and he's like, pretty sure it's really well documented how much China is taking our data. Like, obvious. And he's like, the guy asking the question was like, thank you. And like, why can't you just say, yeah, they've been taking our data for decades now, and it's super obvious. Like, they couldn't even say it because they're in the pockets of the Chinese. It's like... The Chinese are beginning to own us financially, and it's really
starting to show.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that I actually like Apple a lot. Like, I am a big, because the hilarious reason, the very ironic reason is security.
Yeah. No, that's
because the way they do their devices and the way they have their security set up,
it's about,
you know how hard it is to steal a MacBook and use it? They firmware lock their crap. You literally cannot get, no matter what, you can erase the hard drive, reboot it, and it will still be locked with the password that whoever owned the Mac set.
Wow.
Do you know that? That's crazy, right?
That's pretty crazy.
That's some secure stuff.
Yeah.
Then, on top of that, their iMessage system they created, because it was easier, also is more secure.
Huh.
It's their own system. They don't have to worry about cell towers. So literally, it's double encrypted. It's encrypted when you send it, encrypted when they receive it, period. End of story. There's no getting around it.
That's really cool.
So that's good to know.
I mean, yeah, I do really like that about it's as crazy, far man. As
Apple. I will say this. They had a break.
I do like Apple.
They had a break.
I like in, Apple hardware iCloud, for sure. You know? I like Apple hardware. That's the thing. I love their hardware. I feel like the company itself, though, needs to get out of the
China's
pocket.
There may be something going on there, and you may be right. And I also know some of their hardware does come from China. I get that. But like, a lot of that has to do with the American labor force for so long has maybe we think we want or we think we want too much as far as labor goes or something.
Well, yeah, they have slave labor in China.
Correct. I'm actually more on Nike right now than I am anything.
Nike, Apple.
What if we do? What if we?
There's
do
a lot of companies that are huge. Starbucks. All
but
use
like
slave
you're talking
labor.
About. You're talking about Nike being so involved with our sports and everything. And also all their products being
and now
like
they're becoming
slave labor
deeply
stuff.
Involved in politics, which is what? Disturbing.
And they're doing their virtue signaling thing on their commercials.
I mean, they've clearly
right?
chosen sides, you know
so
what I mean?
So I won't
Ugh.
It's crazy and they're allowed to choose a side. They are a private company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we should do yeah, you know what? This is an episode for you guys to hear what our next episodes are gonna be about. Kind of what we want to get into here. What if we do like a, you know, we dive into like that kind of thing, the Nike going politics thing, like what happened here?
Nike
and,
NBA.
And, you know, solutions for the current state of society is a hard question, a hard thing to come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it always has been. I feel like it's getting more complicated every day, so.
Right.
More people. More complex issues, more technology, more intelligence, more bad actors, all of it.
Look, guys, I need y'all's help. I want to know who you want on the show as far as guests are concerned, and I will try my hardest to get them. This can't be big guests because obviously we're tiny. We're super tiny. But if you have someone in mind that you know of personally or that you know might do it, let us know. Please let us know. We got an email. We got a freaking website with a contact form on it, Twitter, you know, everything. We have forms of contact, so it's not that hard to get into contact with us.
Of course.
Comment on YouTube if you want. I'll rub this wood all day.
Oh, my gosh. Keep it PG, man.
All right, guys. It's been fun. It's been real. Hasn't been real fun.
Keep it toasty.
Yeah. Stay toasty. Toasty.